Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
Hello, Dori. I'm Kate Spencer.
Hello, Kate Spencer. We are not experts.
Nope, but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about the serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and thoughts, and we answer your questions to the best of our ability.
Please remember, we're not experts. We're just podcast hosts, and we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a medical and or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you'd like to reach us, our voicemail and text number is 781-591-0390, and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
That is true, Dori. And here's where else you can find us. On reddit.com/r/forever35. That's the Forever 35 subreddit. You can visit our website at forever35podcast.com, where we link to things we talk about on the show. You can follow us on Twitter at Forever35Pod and Instagram at Forever35Podcast, and on Facebook in the Forever 35 Facebook group, where the password is serums.
All those things are true. Kate?
Yes, Dori.
You pointed out that this episode is airing on basically the one-year anniversary of Quar.
Yep. Yep-a-do. Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Pretty wild. You know, like, the start of this quarantine experience is very clear in my brain because my daughter's birthday is March 15th. And everything basically shut down on, I think it was Friday, March 13th. I think if that's correct, I think I have the date exactly right. You know, like, yeah. The school sent out the email that we were going to be closed for a few weeks, and we were supposed to go to Universal Studios, and that closed, and everything, you know, it was like all the things just started, even though I had been kind of prepping for a few weeks, it really, like, it became real that about a year ago, like real in that, like, we were home from this day on and have been.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know, like, we've talked about this leading up to this time, and I know this date is not set in stone for every person. Everyone has kind of their different beginning to this experience. But, you know, I'm feeling a lot of grief about, like, a year later. I'm just thinking about the people who didn't survive this pandemic, whether that be because of the actual illness of COVID or because of the way it's reverberated with the job market and housing and everything. You know, it's like this mixture of, like, sincere grief, you know, and I'm like, you know, my friends who have lost family members and friends, like, And now seeing people get vaccinated and how that gives me hope, and it's like great hope. Like, my dad is fully vaccinated, my stepmom. But then there's just also this feeling of, like, not everybody got to this place. And, like, oh, I know we're still not out of the woods, but just that kind of grief, that and sorrow of, like, I'm so grateful we're here, but I don't know. We're still here. Here's what, guess what it is. Like, and sorry to kind of start this episode on a real downer of a note, but I'm processing this stuff in real time. But, you know, so my mom died of cancer, and she was diagnosed and then died 9 months later. And after she died, I was like still processing the fact that she even had cancer, much less had died. Do you know what I mean? Like it was,
yeah,
I couldn't process it all at the same time. And that's a little bit what it feels like right now, where I'm kind of like still in my brain unraveling and understanding what we are going through and have gone through. And it's I think it's going to take us a while, you know, and like I'm not even on the front lines of this thing. I'm home in my office.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so I just am kind of, I don't know, I think I'm finally starting to touch on a lot of my feelings about this experience. And so, you know, we had listeners reach out about how to commemorate it. And I think for me, what I've decided to do is to make a financial donation to a community fridge that's in my neighborhood. I feel like I've learned a lot about mutual aid this year and community, especially not just like specific to Los Angeles, but to my specific part of Los Angeles. And I really want to just support my neighbors. So I'm going to make a donation to my local community fridge. And I think that's how I'm going to commemorate this year, the end of this year and the beginning of the next.
I love that.
That's where I'm at today.
That's really beautiful, Kate.
Well, and I really do think that, you know, as we move forward and more of us get vaccinated, like there is going to be a lot of processing, emotional processing, grief that we're going to have to kind of go through as a collective.
Yeah.
And that's very heavy, you know, and like caring for ourselves individually and as a unit of humans is going to be a really big part of it. You know, like we're not just going to all get vaccinated and run out and be like, we did it, we're done. Like there's going to be a lot of sorrow that comes with that as well as joy. And I'm just feeling all of it right now, Dory.
I do think that some of the ways some people process their grief, though, is by saying, we did it, we're done. Like, because it's
totally
a distraction. You know,
totally.
The grief can feel so monumental that it's like you don't even want to start confronting it because like no. What are you going to find if you start dealing with it? Do you know what I mean?
It's going to be it's very painful.
Yeah.
It's very painful on so many levels.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, you're welcome. That's very nice of you to say. What have you been reflecting on?
Well, you know, I have to tell you, it has been pretty wild to read my one line a day journal.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine.
Every day. But I will say, this is when I'm like, oh, this is why I'm keeping this one line a day journal. Like,
yes.
I have a chronicle of every single day. And it's just been pretty wild over the last few days. Like a week or so ago, my entry for last year it ended with like getting pretty nervous about coronavirus, you know, and it's like, whoa. But then also like over the last few days last year, Henry was sick with hand, foot, mouth.
I remember.
And so a lot of it was just like dealing with that. And then I got sick and
that's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh so like God. The last weekend before lockdown, I was sick. But then I was finally feeling better by the middle of the week and went out to dinner with some of my mom group friends. And I remember one woman didn't come because she was nervous about coronavirus. And we were all sort of like, is she being paranoid? Like, and the woman who had made, it was like a reservation that was hard to get for like such a large group. And the woman who had made the reservation was like annoyed that this woman just didn't show up. And then, but then we were all sort of like, should we be sharing food? Like, no one right. like, really knew what to do. The restaurant was packed. And then, like, we didn't hug each other goodbye because it was sort of like, I guess we're not supposed to do this. But, like, we had just shared food for 2
around
hours.
Around a table. Yeah.
Yeah, around a table. I don't know. And then, yeah, I don't. It's just, it is just wild to think about those last few days.
Well, I can remember too, like the first messages we started getting from listeners, like specifically a woman in New York who had to quarantine And it was, they were ahead of where we were in Los Angeles with coronavirus. And it just seemed surreal, like very hard to wrap my brain around the fact that like this would eventually reach us. And now obviously we've, you know, seen what has happened, but I can still remember that, like where it started to become more and more of a conversation. And you and I were like, should we? I think we're going to have to talk about this.
And we had been hearing from listeners like in Italy.
Yeah.
Who had been hit earlier and much harder, earlier. So I don't know. It's just,
wow, what just a year. Lot.
So been thinking about that. But okay. So on a somewhat different note.
Uh-huh.
I had brought up the hummingbird that has taken up residence outside of our front door. And you were talking about this like very lovely thing that you've experienced, you know, that you see your mom, like when you see a hummingbird, you think it's your mom, and that a lot of people with dead parents kind of think the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, like that's really nice. Not 4 hours later, I look up. The hummingbird was in the house.
I'm dying.
The hummingbird had come inside, which she has never done before. Never. And she's been around since we moved in. She went away for a while and then she came back, but she was around for a long time and she's never come in the house, like ever even seemed interested in coming in the house.
Do you think she's a podcast listener? She wears like tiny Apple headphones.
I don't know. But I was like, what the fuck? It was crazy. And then I'm sure she was terrified and we couldn't get her out.
Was she flying around, like humming around your house?
She was like, humming on like towards the ceiling.
Ugh.
And so I took Bo and Henry outside. We turned off the lights in the house. We were like trying to sort of like draw her out. And then Matt couldn't get her out. She took up, she went up to the top of a bookshelf and she was just like sitting there. And then it was like getting late. Like I had to put Henry to bed. So Henry and I came back in and she was up on the ceiling and Henry got so scared.
Oh God. Yeah.
And I was like, he was like, oh, like he hated the hummingbird in the house. And so I sort of like hustled him into his bath.
Don't blame him.
Matt finally got the hummingbird out. But like there was a period, there was like a moment where he was like, I don't know if she like had a heart attack. Like she seemed really freaked out. And then he like got her out. But then like a couple hours later, she was back on her nest.
What a journey.
I've seen her. It was quite a journey, but it was sort of like, wait a second, especially since you had been like, my mom would have really liked you. Like she would have wanted to talk about mysteries with you.
I know. She loved cozy mysteries.
I was like, is this Kate's mom? Like coming in to talk about cozy mysteries with me?
My mom was like, gotta. My mom's watching Call My Agent up in whatever heavenly space she's in. And she's like, I've got to talk to Dory because Kate's not watching it.
It was truly,
you know, like when things like that happen is when I'm like, are spirits real? You know, like yes. I tend to be kind of a skeptic. I waffle between being a skeptic and a believer in all sorts of things. But then stuff like that happens and I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was just truly eerie because, as I said, she had never come in the house before.
How did she get in? Like, one of you was just walking in and she was like, wee!
No, I think we had let Bo out, so the front door was open. We just leave the front door open when he's outside because we have a gate, so he can kind of roam the yard and then come back in whenever he feels like it. So we, like, usually leave the door open, and it's never been a thing. And then all of a sudden, it was.
I mean, I love this. Whenever an animal gets into your house from the natural world, it's terrifying. Like because you don't want to hurt them and they're scared. You don't know how to get them out.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I was really nervous that something was going to happen to the hummingbird.
What a journey you went on there.
It was
a spiritual journey.
It was quite a journey. So anyway, on that note, yeah, let's take a short break and we'll be right back.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there, the overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click Get Started, and then use our code FOREVER35 at sign up, and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college? When I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress.
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they manage to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. All right. We have returned with some listeners who had some thoughts about the listener who wrote in about their partner who did not smell good.
Yeah, that was a very diplomatic way of putting it, Dory.
Oh, thank you.
Here's what one listener wrote us. They said, "Hey, Kat and Dor, I had the exact same problem with my husband. It was really getting to me, and I went into full fix-it control mode. I got him a bunch of new underwear. It worked. And with the not showering, I realized that it was purely because of a lack of routine. Since the pandemic, we've both been working from home, like many, with no structured routine in place. So now our daily routine is coffee in bed, his shower time, then we walk the dogs, then it's my shower time, and then work at our home desks. I've discovered he loves showers, but just enjoys relaxing more. So the get-up-and-go routine has made all the difference. I still have to remind him, okay, so you're going to have a quick shower and I'll get the dog's leashes on. And it just reminds him. I highly recommend trying a routine. It still has to be managed by me, but totally worth having the good, clean smells."
Okay.
Okay.
I like this. As someone who is married to a partner who needs routine, I really relate to this.
How do you feel about the part about the spouse having to manage their partner's routine? Is that just part of marriage, or is there like a gender construct at play here?
I think there is a gender construct at play. On the one hand, I think it's like, yes, this is very gendered, and it does often fall to the woman to do the emotional labor to do this. On the other hand, like, maybe this is something that is like nice to do for the well-being of the couple.
Right, and the relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't have a great answer.
No, I was just curious. I thought that was interesting. And, you know, the person writing in seems to be, like, down with it. You know, if it was laborious for them, then I would, you know, maybe it would feel different.
Yeah.
All right, should we dig into this next email?
Yeah, I'll take it away. "Hello, partner of a man with body odor issues. Unfortunately, this has become an ongoing issue for us, from everything to a super smelly computer chair in the office that I couldn't sit in, very smelly clothes that made it hard for me to do laundry, and sometimes being hard to even sit next to him. It's been difficult not to feel like I'm his, quote, mom when I tell him to shower. So sometimes I try to make it fun, like we shower together and I purposely get in a couple minutes late, or I simply ask him to shower before sex. Luckily, he has fully come to terms with the smell and has recently bought Gold Men's Essentials body powder for his boxers. He also regularly uses Febreze and baking soda on the computer chair. One thing I will add is that my husband is depressed. We've talked about therapy for him, but it's also important to me that I give him some space. It's a hard time for all."
Indeed it is.
Yes. Yeah. Oof.
Oof is right. This is a hard one.
It is a hard one. Because I believe in our initial conversation about it, my theory was that the letter writer's partner sounded depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that like mental health issues are often kind of inextricably linked with these questions.
Yeah, I think so too. I thought that was a really good observation. It hadn't dawned on me. And I will say many people wrote in and agreed, Dory.
Thank you, everyone. All right. Let's hear a voicemail.
"Hi, Kat and Dor. This is Pam calling. I wanted to respond to the person who called on the recent mini episode regarding smells in the house, and particularly smells from her significant other. I have two recommendations. The first is Emily Nagoski's book. It's really more about intimacy, but when I read it, I learned through some of the exercises that a very common theme for me in my intimate experiences has been, in my good experiences, has been being with somebody that has really great hygiene in that moment. And that really helped me have a conversation with my husband about my needs in that area. And then later in the book, there's a whole chapter on smells and sweat and all those different bodily functions that are totally normal. And I just have to say that it really did wonders for me and my perspective on those things. I also wanted to recommend the two Forever 35 subgroups. One is the subgroup on marriage and long-term partnership. This topic comes up quite frequently in that group. And also the Lowdown, which is a group about pelvic floor issues and sexual health. Both of those are Forever 35 spinoffs with truly amazing members and moderation teams. Shout out. So anyway, love you guys. Love the pod. Thank you so much for the community that you have brought me in my life. And I just really appreciate it. Have a good one.
Okay, so I think the book that this listener is recommending is Come As You Are. They cut out like right in that one spot when they say the title, but I think it's Emily Nagoski's book, Come As You Are. And you might recall that Emily was a guest on this podcast.
Yes, along with her sister.
Yeah, and if you don't recall that, I encourage you to go back and check out that episode. It's really
good.
Talk about their book, Burnout. Yeah.
Also, I am in both of those Facebook groups, and I
agree. Oh, you are?
I sure am. Uh-oh. I'm in a lot of subgroups. I lurk mostly, but I'm there.
I love that there's one about the pelvic floor.
Yeah, it's. I would describe it as like a sexual health
cool
subgroup.
Well, I got called out in Forever 35 Cats today.
You did?
Yeah. In a loving way, but the members were like, LOL, Kate said that cats aren't needy. And then everyone was like, but my cat's needy. And I was like, oh, right. Cats are needy. Like, and I course corrected within the group. I was like, of course you're right. And then everyone was sharing pictures of their cats, like literally, you know, sitting on their computer keyboards. Cats are needy. Anyway, the members of the Forever 35 Cats group has welcomed me with open arms. They understand, you know, that I'm not
open paws.
Oh my God. Sorry.
What? That's not even a pun.
I know, it's just funny. Just thinking of like these paws coming in and hugging me.
Yeah.
They have. It's a lovely group. I love seeing everybody's kitties. But you know, I did get it wrong, so I appreciated the correction.
All right. Well, let's hear another voicemail on this topic. Not of cats, but of
cells.
Yes.
Hey, I just called in and like screwed up my voicemail and told y'all to scratch it because I'm coming off a night shift and I'm really fuzzy right now. First, I wanted to say today on the pod, there was a listener who called in about her husband's hygiene and cleanliness and just like odor and stuff. And I really give a resounding yes to Dory's mention that this could very well be a mental health thing. That was the very first thing I thought of when I heard the voicemail. And second, I would encourage the listener to maybe delve a little deeper with her partner into his like cleaning and hygiene, et cetera, habits. Because from my perspective, oh, if you can hear my dogs eating in the background, they say hello, it's dinner. But from my perspective, I grew up in a very dysfunctional, very abusive, like chaotic, unsafe, unhealthy household. And so I never learned how to clean. Like my parents, quite frankly, were hoarders. I never learned how to keep a clean and tidy house. It was just something that's not available to my parents. And I, because I was not safe with them, I never learned how. And I've heard of other, you know, child abuse survivors who never learned personal hygiene kind of stuff from their parents. And so that might be something to kind of guide the listener's conversations with her partner, because when previous partners have approached me about it in a less delicate way, I've had full on meltdown because it's such a shameful, upsetting thing for me to, like, I'm looking around my kitchen right now. It's absolutely filthy. And I hate having to reflect on that and sit with it. Second, speaking of me leaving a shitty voicemail because I'm coming off a night shift. So for context, I'm the med student butt serum listener. I'm in my like fourth of 5 years of med school. I'm taking an extra year and I have a lot of extra free time. So I took a side job where I'm working a couple nights a week. How are we doing our skincare for people who are working night shifts, especially when you're not working every night? Like I might be doing two nights and then two nights off and then like another night and it's kind of sporadic. I'm like about to head out for my shift. My 7 p.m. shift. It's dark outside, so I feel like I could put on like my nighttime serums, my retinol and everything. But I don't know. I don't want to put on my daytime stuff because I'm going to get my nighttime stuff. That stuff's important too. I'm really confused. I'm sure there's like a really cool healthcare person you can call in and give me some advice there. But please, night shift people, help. What do I do for my face? All right. Thanks, guys.
Whoa. But serum listener is back.
Welcome back.
I thought this was a really interesting point of view that I had not thought of. And I really am grateful that they called in and shared it. That was really important to hear. So thank you for that. In terms of a night shift skincare routine.
Yeah. Do you have suggestions?
I am not a night shift worker.
Me neither.
You know, so those listeners who are, I know you're out there. I would love to hear how you do this.
Yeah.
Do you put on your retinol before you go to work at night?
Tell us your secrets.
And then I wonder, I mean, I know I'm thinking specifically of like medical professionals, nurses, doctors, etc. They're not like touching their face and then touching patients. But like, would you want to be around people with retinol on your face? I don't know. Like, would you even want to risk it?
Right.
I don't know.
I gotta hear
how they handle it though. Cause you know, or perhaps it's as easy as just keeping your skincare routine super simple and using the same thing morning and night. So you don't really have to worry about switching prods.
I mean, there's so much to consider.
Truly. There is. So, but we are not experts in this area. So please, someone educate us.
Yes. Please educate us. Oh, wise listeners.
Of the night shift.
All right. Well, let's take another little break. And we're gonna switch gears when we get back.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters, and then my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs.
Oh.
Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. And you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price.
Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
All right, we are back with a question that I've actually been thinking about lately.
Oh, okay. Ooh la la.
All right. Hi, Kat and Dora. Love the pod. I'm writing because I'm a territory manager for about 4 years and spend a lot of time in my car driving between many locations. Like many of us, due to COVID, I had not seen photos of myself in quite some time until this weekend. In the photos, I notice the left side of my face, driver's side, is starting to droop slash age more quicker than my right side, and it was very noticeable to me compared to photos pre-COVID. I've still been working out in the field during this pandemic. I do wear sunscreen every day in the summer. I will admit I need to be better during winter, but I'm curious if you have any advice or product recs when only one side slash part of your face slash body is aging faster than the rest. Realistically, I will be in this job role for at least another few years, and I'm only 30 years old. Any advice would be appreciated, and I hope you have a great week.
Okay, so Dory, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I have noticed that I have more freckle slash age spots on the left side of my face.
And the driver's side.
Yes, and I am also someone who wears sunscreen religiously, but I have noticed this, and I'm assuming that that is the cause. Okay, so I had a couple of thoughts. One is, you said droopy, and I wasn't totally sure what you meant, but it also made me wonder, are you sleeping on that side? Because I would be curious to hear what happens when you start sleeping on your back, which is hard if you're not a back sleeper, but it sounds like you might be a side sleeper on your left side.
Mm-hmm. So, and that can cause the face droop.
That can cause the face droop. So it might not be just the car. That was my first thought. My second thought is, wear sunscreen in the winter. Wear it all year round. Mm-hmm. Don't just wear it in the summer. It should be part of your morning skincare routine, and you should reapply it throughout the day.
Multiple times a day.
Especially since you're in the car so much. But don't keep it in the car because it's sensitive to heat. So keep it in your bag and reapply it. Maybe like every time you get out of the car and then get back into the car, maybe when you get back into the car, you're like, okay, I'm reapplying sunscreen.
Maybe that's also keep a powder too. Powder sunscreen.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Because that could keep in the car, presumably.
Yes, I like that, Kate.
Well, I droop. I have one side, and Dory and I are on a video chat right now, and she may have noticed that I've been analyzing my eyebrows because one is like significantly higher than the other. When I look in pictures, I'm going to show you what it looks like. It looks like this one's like this, and this one is like that.
Your camera is off for me because it's
oh my God, internet. I just gave such
so
a good example.
See.
Okay,
I can't
well,
see.
Imagine one eyebrow really low and one eyebrow really high. Like I'm puzzled, and that's what they look like. And I don't know what that is, if my face has always been like that or if that's just aging. I don't love it. I'm trying to kind of just accept it.
I just want to say that I've never noticed this.
Well, this is the thing. Like when we're looking, we notice things about ourselves that nobody else sees. Like the droop that this listener might be seeing might not be evident to the eye of another.
Yeah.
I use my New Face device every night. That is an expensive option. It's a microcurrent device, and that is supposed to help with lifting. And I like it, and I think it does make a difference. And I think if you use it consistently, it can make a difference. So that is my
suggestion with a high price tag. I mean, this also seems like another thing to talk to a dermatologist about. I don't know a lot about like fillers and threading and all that stuff, but if that's something you are open to, I feel like a dermatologist could tell you about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. And also, we don't know where the droop is coming from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
it mm-hmm. also could be like a learning to love your droop. The learn easier said droop. Than done choice,
yep.
as always.
Yeah.
I will say I am someone who did train. I'm a side sleeper who did start sleeping on my back. And now I love falling asleep on my back. So, and I did it because I had like one side of my face that was always congested with zits from sleeping on it. So that may help. But you do have to practice. It's not fun. As for a side sleeper too, who likes to snuggle down.
Yeah, it's not fun. And no. I had to train myself to not sleep on my back when I was pregnant.
Ugh.
And then, you know, then it's like, oh, wait, I should be sleeping on my back. So
gotta go back to the back.
Gotta go back to the back. So.
Anyway, if anyone has tips, you know we're here for them. We want to hear them.
Yep.
All right. Last, before we wrap things up here, someone texted us and said, Kate, which laptop stand keyboard trackpad are you using? Trying to improve my work from home setup. All right. So here it is. All right. So listener who asked this, I want you to go to our website because I will have everything will be put, not Sam, our project manager, our hero, will put all everything into the episode post. Okay, so it'll all be there. I use a leather desk pad. And I also have linked to everything. Most of these links are Amazon links, just out of pure convenience. I'm sure you can find them elsewhere if you are not an Amazon shopper. This listener specifically asked about my stand. And I can tell you it is called Rain Design Eye Level 2 Adjustable Height Laptop Stand. Cost me $50. It's okay. Great. I love it. My keyboard and my trackpad are both from a little company called Apple.
Heard of them.
Mm-hmm. Familiar. And then I also have attached to my keyboard, I think it's like the magic keyboard because I use a laptop. So the magic keyboard and whatever the little trackpad thingy is. But then on my keyboard, I have a keyboard stand and that is attached to the bottom of the keyboard. So it's like a little riser. It's called a Flip ESC Flip Computer Keyboard and Laptop Stand.
Okay.
So you can raise it or lower it. And that has, look, I do a lot of writing professionally and I have not had any wrist issues in a very long time. So I highly recommend a proper setup. Additionally, I sit on my purple seat cushion. I've got noise canceling headphones. I've got some USB plug recommendations, a hard drive recommendation. I put it all in so you can find, you know, everything that I use to work from home. The noise canceling headphones are key with my loud husband in the room next door.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my list.
Thank you.
You are welcome. It helps my back. A good ergonomic setup helps your back care, baby.
That is true. Baby.
All right. Well, look, we're here at the end.
We are.
I posed a question, which was, you know, as I was musing about my coronavirus year anniversary quarantine thinking, I just was curious what is bringing people hope right now. And I was trying to reflect on that as I was feeling sad as well. Like, what is making me feel hopeful?
What is making you feel hopeful?
My dad getting vaccinated made me feel really hopeful. Every time I see a friend get vaccinated or someone I don't know, anytime anyone is vaccinated, I get emotional. I think that the work you're doing and a lot of friends in our community are doing to help people get vaccinated here in Los Angeles makes me feel hopeful. This new CDC guidelines that came out today that said vaccinated people could hang out with each other made me feel hopeful. What else makes me feel hopeful? Maybe that's it. I don't know. You know what else makes me feel hopeful? Like for me right now here in Los Angeles, it's spring. The fragrant flowers are blooming. My backyard smells like orange blossom. that just gives me like a lift.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah.
There's like a bit of like the changing of the seasons going on that kind of brings me hope. Yep. So I don't know. What brings you hope right now? That's what I want to know. Reflect on it.
Yeah.
Do you have one? Do you have a thing?
Like, do I have a thing that I'm hopeful about?
Or that brings you hope right now?
You got this. That brings me hope right now. Yeah, I mean, it does feel like, even though it's the year anniversary, it does feel like we're seeing the end of the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, the beginning of the end-ish, pending variants.
Yeah, so that gives me hope.
Yeah. Well, you know what gives me hope? Getting to record this podcast.
Okay.
Does. Brightens my spirits. I love hearing from people. It's really nice.
I mean, same. All right. Well, listen, everyone, we will talk to you again soon. It's been a pleasure.
Always.
Bye.